So, Mr. Mazzillo, could you please describe for us the events that led up to the August 2007 liquidity crisis and the drawing on the backup lines, and then other steps that the company took to address the liquidity crisis in August 2007?
Well, I explained to you that the liquidity crisis that occurred wasn't particularly the countrywide. It occurred in the country. The countrywide just happened to be in the environment at the time. And we each company dealt with it differently. Some declared bankruptcy, some were taken over, some were seized. We were fortunate enough over the years, because of the relationships we had with the banks throughout the country and throughout the world, to have, a $13.5 billion backup line. We never used it in 40 years, never anticipated having to use it. But when the liquidity, when our traditional liquidity sources were cut off, which were basically medium-term notes and commercial paper and repo lines, were cut off, we had the only option we had was to pull down those lines, $13.5 billion in lines. I believe that. That's what we did.
And did you, did you have any discussions with any of your funding counterparties about why they were unwilling to roll the commercial paper or the repos?
I had discussions, as I recall, with several of them, and it's because they didn't have liquidity. Liquidity stopped for everybody. Mm-hmm. More than happy to provide us liquidity, but they had to have liquidity to provide us with liquidity, and none of them had it. Mm-hmm.
Did any of them say anything about or raise any concerns, for example, on the repo investors about the value of the collateral that was securing the repos?
Not to my knowledge, not to my recollection.
Okay. I believe that another part of the liquidity crisis, tell me if I'm wrong, was the inability to sell the loans in the origination warehouse. Is that accurate?
We didn't have a warehouse. The issue of liquidity was we were making loans. We had a pipeline of loans. And we either had to say to the borrower, the customers, we're out of business, we're not going to fund. And there's great risk to that, litigation risk. We committed to fund. Or find a way to fund. And the way to fund was to pull down the lines. We were able to fund those loans.
Mm-hmm. Let me try it this way. I thought that one of the sources of funds for the company was the ability to, once the loans were funded, to then sell them into the secondary market. Mm-hmm. And I thought part of the liquidity crisis in August of 2007 was the inability to sell that pipeline of funded loans into the secondary market.
You could continue to sell the conforming loans to Fannie and Freddie. That was, we had that availability. You still could do Ginnie Mae, as we have today, Ginnie Mae securitization. But once it fell out of that realm, then there was no place to sell it. The private securitization market seized up, and so you had no primary funding in the repos, medium-term notes. That was gone, and you had no for jumbos for non-conforming. So we had to quickly, as a big battleship, make sure all our originations were within the conforming range so that we had liquidity on the secondary market side. Mm-hmm.
And did you have any discussions with any of the folks in the securitization market to whom you suddenly could now not sell these loans to about why they wouldn't buy them?
It spoke for itself. There was no market. I spoke to my capital markets people. Mm-hmm. And I said the market shut down. There's no market.
Mm-hmm. Now, there was, I believe, a report issued by a Merrill Lynch analyst, I want to say like on the 14th or 15th of August, that made reference to the possibility of Countrywide filing bankruptcy. Do you recall that report, generally?
I recall, I don't know if the time, that that was the timing. It may have been the time, I'm not sure. I recall that it was an analyst in San Francisco, where you are, that was a former employee of Countrywide. Been gone from Countrywide about 9 or 10 years, so I don't think there was any kind of bias. Mm-hmm. My understanding was it was a 37-page report, and on one of the pages he laid out 47 reasons. These 47 things happened, that's sort of exaggeration. If these things happen, Countrywide would go bankrupt. Well, if all those things happened, anybody would have gone bankrupt. It was just a very irresponsible document that was picked up by a reporter at the LA Times. and he printed the title being "Country Could Go Bankrupt," which caused a run on our bank of $8 billion on a Monday. I don't get the LA Times. I don't read fiction. So I, we had, you know, a lot of, here we had a liquidity crisis, we had this thing happening, and our liquidity was the bank. And so, it created some turmoil for us.
That was a secondary, another source of liquidity going forward, having
right.
pulled down the line.
Right, and you anticipated my...
If I recall, the article even went so far as to publish addresses of the branches in the article.
Which is a shame, because all these older people...
And so the very
next day, our customer base was in the 70s, and because we didn't have any checking accounts or anything else, but basically a retail savings account. And we ordered chairs for him, and they're out, and he came out with a photographer and, interviewed the people online, and he created this horrible for the people, horrible for us, totally unnecessary. It's created by a person who, for whatever their motivations were, did a lot of damage.
Now...
That's the Times reporter.
Right, right, I get it. Now, of course, we know, or at least we've read in the reports, that the company drew down, I think, $11.5 billion from the backup lines, putting aside the specific amounts. What else was the company looking at as possible alternatives to drawing on the backup lines?
I have to reach way back. My memory, there's a lot of water under the bridge, I said. Sure. My memory is a memory that's deteriorated over the years, but... As I recall, I received a lot of calls from private equity companies to enter the picture, to put capital in the company, and to do all kinds of things. All the major private equity companies contacted me. I didn't feel it was a proper solution for Countrywide. So I remember those discussions. We had discussions with some of the banks that we had a long-term relationship with, but to my recollection, nothing that came to fruition.
Do you recall any discussions about what message that would send to the markets drawing on the backup lines?
This sounded very, very crude. Because it is, but it's the only way I can express it coming from the Bronx. When it's between your ass and your image, you hold on to your ass. Okay. I could care less.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to keep this company alive and viable because I really believed this thing would pass. And I wanted to make sure that, and every time the industry was in a crisis, Countrywide always emerged from it stronger because there was less competition. And we survived it. That, if you look at the first growth of Countrywide, it was by default because everybody else went away. Because they're either not committed to the industry, as we were, that was the only thing we did, or they didn't have sufficient capital to get through the crisis.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know, I think it was a couple of weeks later that B of A made the $2 billion in investment in Countrywide. Were there any discussions prior to that when you drew on the backup lines with B of A at that time?
I don't recall timing.
Okay. And then other than...
Just to be complete, Chris, when you asked the question at one point, any alternatives or things in addition to the drawing down the lines that were in the nature of addressing the liquidity issues, obviously he's already talked about looking to the bank and as a source of liquidity and writing to conform to the GSE standards so that originations could continue and be saleable. Those were part of the going forward strategy.
I think we had access. We were a primary dealer, one of 22 in the world. I think we had access to the Fed desk, the discount window. I think we used that to some extent. The Federal Home Loan Bank, we used those. We were able to use the Federal Home Loan Bank. I mean, I think we did a whole bunch of things to shore up our funding, but I'm not sure of the timing and when that was all done.
And I will... it's been, I've read, I believe, in a conference call transcript, so tell me if this runs afoul, that you were able to accelerate the integration of the mortgage operation into the bank, which then would, of course, allow you to fund with deposits in Federal Home Loan Bank advances. My question is, at any time prior to the August 2007 time frame, did you go to, I guess then it would have been the OTS, and ask for any kind of 23A, 23B waiver, which is an affiliate transaction rule for the banks, to get the mortgage operation into the bank so it could be funded by deposits or advances?
Those terms sound familiar. So I think that probably was. But I know we bought in the former controller of the currency, Gene Ludwig, to help us through this issue. I'd known Gene for a long time, and he was very helpful about it. It may be in that area, but I'm not. I'm not sure. Those terms sound familiar to me.
Okay. Let me ask you something related on the OTS, unless it runs afoul of your SEC suit, so let me know. But you folks, Countrywide switched from a bank charter to an OTS charter. I think you applied in December of 06, and it was finalized in March of 07. Why did Countrywide make that change?
It's okay. You can keep it.
It's okay to talk about it, but you're not supposed to talk about the discussions that you had with your supervisors unless you guys have gotten.
Oh, well, then he can't answer the question, because it arose from such discussions.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a banking examination privilege that's still attached.
I think we've got all those. I can't tell you for sure. But let me ask you this then. Before we get to the point of talking to the bank regulators, whether it's at the OTS or the OCC or otherwise, why did Countrywide consider changing charters without disclosing conversations?
And here's the problem. If the regulatory authorities are maintaining that privilege or haven't waived it, such that he can comfortably and legally talk about it, he can't answer that question, because hypothetically the very first step in the chain may be such a discussion.
Sure. I get it. I'm just trying to do a closeout question here that'll wrap it. Is it accurate to say, sir, that the events that led to Countrywide applying to change its charter from a bank charter to a thrift charter initiated with discussions with some bank regulators?
That's just yes or no.
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Mazzillo, I think we're about at the end of our time. I appreciate the time you've given us today, and we'll be in contact again once you're done with your trial to follow up on more Countrywide specific issues that implicate your trial now that we've agreed not to ask you about. Thank you very much for your time, sir.
Thank you.